People will talk. Welcome to a latest episode of the People Will Talk podcast. Joining me in studio is Maria.
Hello.
And of course, special guest Roy Buckley, who is a singing sensation from Cork, Ireland, who is building quite a reputation for himself in Ireland and on the other side of the Atlantic as well. Roy, how are you?
Hey guys, thanks for having me on your show. Great to be chatting to you. I bet you it's sunny over in Spain, is it? We've got a storm here in Ireland, and you guys got the sunshine. I love it.
Not so much. It's actually boring now.
So it's actually grey and miserable. Grey and miserable in Madrid this week and last week as well,
yeah.
And probably next week as well.
Yeah, that's probably a novelty for you guys. That's like reality here. Every day.
I tell you, Roy, Spanish people always tell me that I must be used to the rain being an Irish guy, but we never get used to it. I think that's fair to say. It just keeps happening, bad weather.
We just put up with it.
I dream of our summer holidays in places like Spain. So thanks again, Roy. It's so great to have you here. And just for our Spanish listeners, and we actually do have listeners as well from different pockets of the world as well, could you fill us in a little bit about what you do and what your story is?
What I do? Well, I sing songs and I write songs and I travel around the place doing that. And that's about the extent of it. I've been doing it since I'm a child, really. I was lucky enough to grow up in a musical family where Irish folk songs and things were always happening around me. And I've uncles and things who write songs and stuff too. So, in fact, I thought every house had that until I was at a certain age where, you know, my friends were saying things like, are your family having another party? Can I come? You know, but I thought every house had it. So that's kind of my background. I grew up around music and I've been doing it as long as I can remember, really.
That's classic Irish understatements. Because for those who don't know, and I hope after this podcast, I'm sure they will, they'll flock to your social media channels and listen to your music. For those who haven't had the luck to hear it yet, you've been on top of the Irish, is it the iTunes list?
I was lucky there during the last, it's been a while since I released anything, really. It was a few years, but during 2020, I got 5 new singles out that we had been working on. So, yeah, and they did all right for me so far, yeah. Managed to reach the top of the Ireland top 100 twice. Got to number one and had number 2 and 3 and stuff. So it's going okay, yeah. Maybe I should take doing it full-time, Enda, what you think?
You got my vote. And I've also read as well that one of your songs was put forward for a Grammy as well. Could you tell us a little bit more about that? That's a very interesting process.
That was a shock, to be honest with you. I didn't expect that at all. The Old Man on Patrick Street is the name of the song. I had written it about homelessness, and I based it here in Cork City, in the south of Ireland where I live. Our main street in the city is called after St. Patrick, but us locals just shorten it to Patrick Street. So I wanted to give the song a location. I chose home, even though homelessness is universal. It's all around the world. But I got a call from a guy called Ryan McSweeney from Ryan Music. He's a Grammy voting member, to tell me that he wanted to put my song forward for the Grammys back in around, I think it was around June last year. So I had no idea how the process even worked. I never had a song put forward for the Grammys before. And then the song made it on like the first shortlist or the long list, if you like, with the get on the ballot, basically, the Grammy ballot. And it was cool to see one of my own songs and an Irish ballad going that far in the process. I didn't make it to the final five. Taylor Swift and all those other people you never heard of got there before me. But yeah, it was a huge thrill to see a song of mine going anywhere near the Grammys, to be honest with you. So, loads of fun.
Well, congratulations, and that's a fantastic achievement. So well done. And the song is amazing. We both listened to it, and we have a question. I guess we could ask you about that as well. Is, you know, on one hand you have this great song, but also a song that balances something that's happening. It's really a conversation that's happening in Ireland at the moment about homelessness, and you have these two sides. You have to have it musically interesting, but also represents a real story as well. So was this uncharted territory for you as a performer, kind of marrying these two things? How comfortable did you feel doing it?
I was always drawn to folk singers, we say, like Lou Kelly in Ireland, who always seemed to be kind of a voice for the downtrodden or the people voiceless, maybe. But also songwriters like Ewan McCall or Phil Coulter or whoever who wrote about difficult topics, I suppose. But the character in the song, of my song, The Old Man on Patrick Street, is totally fictional. I try to humanise what homelessness is, and I didn't think I should write about anybody in particular. I thought I'd just make the message universal, because I suppose the message in the song is to realise that nobody starts out in life to end up living rough, and everybody's got a background story. I just chose the guy in my song happened to, you know, had a marriage breakdown. He had success as a boxer when he was younger, just to give him some sort of a background that he did have a life up until things started falling apart, you know. And the old saying, you know, there go I, but for the grace of God, kind of thing, you know. And that's what it's about. But I do remember things like that song was written years ago. I just only got around to recording it in the last couple of years. But I do remember when I was a teenager, I was about 17, and I had a summer job working on the building site when they were redoing Patrick Street in Cork and Oliver Plunkett Street and places. My brother-in-law was an engineer and kind of involved in that. Got me a summer job. And on our lunch break, we'd go up to Bishop Lucy Park, which is known as the Peace Park in Cork. And there's a fountain in there. And I remember this homeless guy used to come in, he used to drink from the fountain. And then you'd see guys, you know, even like we were chatting about the storm last night. You can't help but think at this time of year, when it's cold and it's raining and guys are lying in doorways, and it's horrible to hear of families living rough or in emergency accommodation or whatever, you know. So there's a bit of all that in the song, I suppose, you know. But again, it's the guy is fictional. I didn't want to write about anybody in particular. The idea is to make the listener visualize someone that they see around their town or their city or something, you know.
I guess that's one of the things that works. Yeah, that combination, isn't it, of like things that are very, for example, from a Spanish perspective, when I listen to a song, I can identify things that are very Irish or look very Irish to me, and perhaps you know, I don't know the street or I don't know the exact circumstances, but I can relate to, you know, having seen that person, and obviously like it's the same problem. I would say all over the world. So do you think like that's the secret in a way to success with the songs, like having things you know with your own touch, like for example in this case the Irish touch, but themes that are recognizable, you know, in Ireland, in Spain, or even in the US?
Yeah, I agree. I think there's Patrick Streets all over the world, and there's old men on all those streets. I think you're right in what you're saying, you know. But thank you for that, because that's what the song is supposed to do, is make you think about guys in your own city, you know. Maybe throw some euros or dollars or wherever you are into their cup, or buy them a sandwich, or do something, donate, or do some sort of a thing, you know, to help. But yeah, I hope that answers your question anyway.
Just one more question. I think it's very interesting. You mentioned like you grew up with this, you know, your house was a center for people playing music, and you hear that, as we mentioned, like Luke Kelly and all these other people. And I think that's quite common for musicians in Ireland to have that center, and for people who are not musical, they wouldn't really experience that, as you mentioned as well with your friends. I think it's very easy for people to walk past and ignore, for example, something like homelessness. Do you think this spirit of musicality and of sharing songs and playing with other people and having so many people at your house, and also just having maybe more of an artistic temperament or outlook, makes musicians maybe more sensitive or more empathic with the downtrodden and more motivated to kind of shine a light on their stories in the way the ordinary Joe Soap would maybe just walk past and not give it a second thought?
Maybe so, because if you listen to, I love stories and songs, and I like lyrics and things. And if you listen to, especially like ballads or great songwriters, we say like Bob Dylan or someone who, can paint a picture or can make you think about stuff. Maybe a musician or a singer has an advantage there because their mind is opened up to different things. Also, I think musicians or entertainers or whatever are welcome in a lot of different walks of life. You know what I mean? You could associate with someone who, you know, doesn't have much, or someone who has everything. It doesn't matter. Everybody relates to music. So, music goes hand in hand with happiness and sadness and everything, because you'd have music at a wedding, you'd have music at a funeral, you know. So maybe musicians being around a lot of that makes their eyes open a bit more. I don't know. I'm trying to think of some of my own pals who write, who are deep. And it's not just because of a personal story, it's because they had the ability to do it or whatever. But I certainly think that writers, not even just musicians, I mean writers, you know, have the ability to observe and maybe see things differently, and then to get back to the music side of it, some people can put a melody to it, which makes it catchy or makes it stand out or something too, you know? So I suppose I'd agree with what you're saying there, that not every musician, but a lot of them, are more open to seeing things, or have been around it too, you know, like late nights too. You see things, you know, you're traveling or heading home from somewhere or whatever, you see things late at night as well. So maybe that sticks in writers' memories. You know, I don't know. I think all that is in there.
We'd love to ask you as well about America, because that's an exciting thing as well. And just before we ask you about that specifically, are you excited about Garth Brooks coming to Ireland on a 5-night tour like the rest of the country?
Oh, it goes ahead. I think it's good. You know, I watched his recent press conference with all the media and radio guys and stuff who were asking him questions. And he came across pretty well, in fairness to him. He looks to be looking forward to coming over here and doing the gigs. But, he's a superstar, you know. He's done a lot for country music, in his own unique way. I think it's something like 1 in 6 people in Ireland have a ticket. So I think he'll do well, yeah. you can't deny anybody that, you know. Any guy who can sell out stadiums, you got to respect him for doing that. I think he'll do well.
I try
I think he'll be back the following year.
I tried to explain it to Maria, but it's hard to explain Irish people's affection or mania for Garth Brooks. Cowboy hats are going through the roof, you know, the sales in town shops.
Everybody's buying Stetson. In fact, Maria, I think Garth Brooks is going to be president of Ireland in about 4 years' time.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think, well, we definitely know him here, but I remember him like from the 90s, and I don't think I've ever heard of him again in Spain since I was like at school.
Oh, really?
So yeah, I don't know, we don't follow him so much. Perhaps now I'm gonna get, you know, slated by country fans in Spain. But yeah, I suppose maybe I'm gonna be like terribly stereotypical and say that we like cheerier songs, and maybe, you know, we have our own version of country music, which is flamenco. So for anything to any drama and any emotion, it gets expressed in that way. So perhaps I'm just being super stereotypical.
Yeah, because I love that. I love the flamenco side of things. I remember being really taken by it for the first time when I was a teenager. We were on holidays in Spain. Where were we? I think we were in Costa del Sol or somewhere, or one of the holiday destinations. But we went to a show called Sanamar, and it was all the Spanish dancing. And I see the links with Irish dancing. Obviously, it's their style and we've got our style. But the passion is there, you know, and the flamenco style, the guitar and everything. It's really amazing. You know, you've got a rich culture over there too in Spain.
Yeah, well, I mean, you obviously linking now, it's making me think of like the way that you know, we came across your music through you know, the Irish circles in Madrid. And I don't know, do you have any particular link with Spain, or are you just like trying to get to the different Irish communities in different countries? Because obviously you've built a very successful online profile, and it really gets to people, for example, during confinement. And, you know, we could see constantly on Facebook, for example, like the virtual pub and these things that you did. And obviously that's very important for the Irish community in Spain, you know, and in many other countries. So
I think it's important to try and break new ground all the time, because for any entertainer or singer or dancer or whatever, anyone in performing arts, you need to go to places where they don't know you, so mm-hmm. that you can push it on further, you know. But yeah, you're probably talking about me spamming all over Facebook getting right.
But it works.
Yeah, you got some friends who reach out. And you know what happens sometimes? You get these groups online and somebody will message you privately and say, you should share this to this page. And then you go and do it. And some people love it. And other people throw stones at you, you know what I'm saying? Stop posting your stuff here, you know. It's a minefield sometimes. But look, it works. I wouldn't be doing this podcast only it worked.
Exactly, definitely. That's how it works. And also, I think sometimes a lot of people don't react, or because that happens to us as well. Like, you know, you sort of think, oh, nobody's kind of paying any attention. And then it actually has lots of listens, or people tell you, oh, I loved it. And, you know, so sometimes I think there's a set of fans there in, you know, in the shadows.
you have to go and find people. You have to spread it, you know. Like, one of the greatest things that I learned when I was younger is that, like, as much as it's great having support from friends and family at home, don't get me wrong, we all love having that bedrock of support. But, you know, it's when a total stranger comes up to you and says, guys, I love your podcast, or I love your song, or such a thing. That's when you know you're kind of breaking through, because that person didn't have to take the time to do that, or message you online, or come up to you at the end of a gig or something, you know. And that's how you know it. That's how you know you're really kind of pushing forward, you know. I think.
Yeah, you definitely appreciate it more, because you know they don't feel obliged to tell you.
Yeah. In Ireland too, it's great, like, because people don't have no problem coming up and telling you that they didn't enjoy it too.
You know? Oh, well, that's very good.
You know, no, that never happened to me, but
but it happens. Nobody,
you know where you stand. You know where you stand at all times with an Irish audience, you know, I find. Anyway, yeah.
It's interesting that you have this connection to groups on Facebook, to Irish communities, as Maria was mentioning, because you do have a ballad as well about emigrating as well, which I think is absolutely gorgeous. Reminds me of, as well, the Pogues have a great song, Thousands Are Sailing, if you know it. Of course, you know that song, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So you've written about this theme, and of course, you're promoting your work with Irish immigrants as well in other parts of the world. Do you see immigration as another kind of social topic, or is it something that you would like, you know, is something that it's a consequence of the economy in Ireland before, or something that you think about in a different way, something that you'd like to do yourself even? Like, what is your relationship to this concept of immigrating and moving out?
I think emigration has been part of the Irish story forever, you know, through all sorts. Pick any downturn or recession, pick the famine, go back to just to tie in with Spain here. What about 1601, the Battle of Kinsale? This kind of ties in with the song you're talking about, is Dark Rosaline, that I wrote. I'll tell you why. The song is my own, the melody is my own, the lyrics are all my own. But the title is a nod to the writers who came before me all up through the centuries, because in 1601, the Battle of Kinsale happened here in Cork, where the Irish almost defeated the British in the Battle of Kinsale. And it was led by Red Hugh O'Donnell, the chieftain.
I just interrupt you there for a second. You know, just a plug, we have a tour about this event, about the Irish immigrants. Yeah, so thank you, Roy, for helping us out with that as well.
No problem.
If you quote Roy Buckley in the booking page, you get a 10% discount.
I love it.
But you're mentioning about O'Donnell. Yeah.
So Hugh O'Donnell, Red Hugh O'Donnell, went to Spain after that to seek help from the King of Spain and the Pope around 1601, 1602. He died in Spain in 1602. But it was said that he wrote a poem in Irish called Roisin Dubh, which translated to English means little black rose or dark rose. I mean, it's also said that his chief bard wrote it, a fella called Owen Rua Mac an Bhord, Owen Rua Mac Ward. It's one of the two of them, basically. There's another theory then that it's written by a priest in the 15th century who gave up his vow because he fell in love and all that. But we'll stick with him. We'll stick with Red Hugh O'Donnell for now. So he died out in Spain, and that was it. But there's no doubt that image of Ireland as this beautiful woman has come through the ages, like since then, because you know, you've got all these great Irish bands who either recorded a piece of music like Roisin Dubh, the Dubliners did it, and Tommy Makem sang a version of Dark Rosaline as well, and that. So when James Clarence Mangan was the guy who translated that poem written in the 16th century into English, and his version of it differs from, we say, Padraig Pearse's version of it, dependent. But I love the whole topic, that there's all these theories of who wrote it and why and what it's written about and everything, and it just fascinates me. But it all boils down to Ireland being this beautiful woman calling her children home, kind of thing, you know. So that's why I gave the song the title Dark Rosaline. I thought it was a nod to all those people who did it before me, and the topic of immigration, because everywhere I go, whether I'm somewhere in America or Holland or Norway or wherever I am, I meet Irish people everywhere. And if you listen to my song, the last verse doesn't resolve. It's up to the listener whether the character in the song comes home or not. And that's because when I meet these people around the world, some of them plan on getting home, some are settled, they're never coming back. So it's up to the listener then, you know. That was probably a very long way around of answering your question, but at least you got to plug your tour.
No, it was fantastic. And you mentioned he died in Spain. Did you know that 2 years ago they were looking for his body in Valladolid, the old capital of Spain? Maria, you know about this as well, of course. And his body is very identifiable because he lost two toes in the Wicklow Mountains from frostbite. So if they find a skeleton with two missing toes, it's him. And some people believe as well he was buried next to Christopher Columbus as well. Well, they haven't found a body as far as I know, but they did release a movie last year kind of telling a little bit of a story about him as well, like this kind of like crowdfunded project that you can buy and download from a website, for example. Well, going from Red Hugh and these famous lads, you mentioned Phil Coulter earlier as well. You have some famous people in your WhatsApp group.
I'm actually in the middle of a new track at the moment with Phil. I've got a new song coming out with him in 2022, a song called Holy Moses. But during the lockdown, I go back a few years with Phil. We first got kind of friendly back around 2014. He came and played a couple of song collector sessions with me. The song collector sessions are these events that I run since 2012 as a way of promoting our own Irish entertainers, songwriters, that kind of thing. So I bring in all the well-known guys and from around the country, and we put on these shows. Anyway, Phil came and did four in 2014, and we really kind of hit it off then. And we've been in touch, and we worked on different things, and I've guested on a few of his shows. But during the lockdown, Maria was talking about my virtual Irish pub. So I got on to Phil, and I was saying, you know, online is the only game in town at the moment. Like, you know, there's no gigs, there's no nothing. We can't go outside 5 kilometres. You know, you can't call to anybody's house. If you want to keep in touch with your followers, it's got to be online. So he tuned into my gig, and then he decided he was going to do his own lockdown lounge, he called it. So he was going live on his own page every Saturday for a half an hour. He'd go through some of his great songs about, you know, the big ones that Luke Kelly and Paddy Riley and the Furies and all these big Irish bands had covered, as well as Elvis Presley and everyone. But he, so he called on me, and then I ended up doing some of his songs with him during his lockdown lounge, and we shared them around. So that was it. We kind of, that's a bit of history, myself and Phil, but he's certainly one of Ireland's greatest writers and performers. He's given so much to Irish music, you know, and a great composer as well. So yeah, that was it. And then he called me up there a while back and said, I have a song you should do, Holy Moses. I said, send it on, had a listen. So we're in the middle of recording that now. That will go out in the new year, hopefully. It's been recorded between Ireland and the US. I've got some great musicians in Vegas, Las Vegas. Dave Brown from the Black Donnellys is going to be on it as well. They just picked up an Emmy recently for their movie, the Black Donnellys movie.
Oh wow!
An Irish Story. This Is My Home. Yeah. So. Incredible. It all links in, you know. I had Dave Brown on one of those shows with Phil a few years back too. But many, many great times with him as well. So there's a lot of great musicians on it. I mean, Dave holds a few Guinness World Records as well for playing guitar and that. So it's all coming together very nicely. So there's a bit of background about Phil. Go and check out his stuff online. I think he's on a tour at the moment. I was supposed to meet up with him in Cork. But again, like when we started, you were asking me about how are things going? Am I busy for Christmas? That's the thing. Some gigs have been cancelled, some aren't. And it's crazy. But anyway, there was a bit of history, a bit of chat about Phil anyway. He's one of the good guys.
My takeaway from Phil is he nicked your idea and then he asked you. I'd rather do with it, the cheek of it. No, I'm joking. That sounds amazing, that track. So we really, really look forward to hearing that when it comes out as well.
Yeah, that's a great story. So, it was lovely to chat to you. We really enjoyed all these stories. But just to get wrapping it up a little bit, we just wanted to know what your future plans are. Obviously, it's very hard to plan at the moment because we don't know what's happening. But
this is it. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
In an ideal world, what would you like to do next year?
Well, I have a few things happening. I'm talking with Pete St. John as well, another one of our great writers, but maybe doing more stuff with him. I released one of his songs. He gave me a song last year as well called Tara Tansey, which did okay as well. So I'm talking with Pete about doing stuff with him. I've got some of my own songs ready or almost ready to come out for 2022 of that track with Phil Coulter as well. And I'm hoping to be back in the US. I'm in the middle of getting my US visa sorted out again. So hopefully I get longer than 2 days out of out of this one. I was in California. I was out to do a month in America in 2020 when the coronavirus really hit, and I got 2 days out of my visa and I had to come home. It's ridiculous.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So best of luck.
I'm hoping to get back, and I've had some interest as well from Norway and Holland again, so I'm hoping to get over there as well. And we'll see. So that's kind of the plan for now until something else happens.
Fingers crossed.
We'll get over Christmas and things first, and then we'll I'm looking forward to a few get-togethers with family and things for Christmas, and then dive back into the work in January, hopefully, you know.
Well, if you come to Madrid,
will you get home for Christmas? Did you decide a date, or are you booked? Or
I am coming home actually for 10 days or 9 days. And as I was mentioning to you before we started recording, I touch wood now, I don't get locked, you know, stuck in the country. So I'm sure my mother especially wouldn't mind too much if I was if it was illegal to leave the country because of the pandemic. So we'll have to like.
How long has it since you were home?
2 years now coming up this Christmas. So
mad.
You know, so when I listened to your song about immigration, the Russian Dove song you were talking about earlier, pulling at my heartstrings, I have to go home.
After 2 years, you're definitely due a trip home, and you're definitely due a good session as well. Get together with all the crew.
I get the boys in speed dial, you know, just before I get in the plane.
Yeah. Well, are you going as well, Maria?
I'm home. Technically, I'm already. So I'm staying put.
No trip to Ireland for you.
No trip for nobody's taking me.
well, you know, I want to have all the Cadbury's and Barry's tea to myself. So
yeah,
shocking. Oh no, I've opened up a can of worms. Have I?
No, don't worry. An extra flight will be booked rapidly after this conversation. The peace will be maintained. If you ever do come to Madrid as well, you'll have a gaff to crash at, and you can spend your money on Spanish beer instead of Spanish hotels.
I've done that before.
But we both wish you the best of luck with all your plans. It's so great to talk to you. You're an Irish singer who's doing so well, and you deserve every success that you have. And apart from that, you are just such a genuine, lovely person as well, and so accommodating. And honestly, it's just been wonderful having you here. And you plugged our tour. We spoke about my mother and all the sessions with the lads as well. So thank you so much for everything. And just for me, thank you so much. And I'm sure Maria will say her goodbyes as well.
Thank you so much. And next year we'll have another one after all your, so you can tell us about all your adventures.
For sure. But definitely,
best of
definitely
luck.
Looking forward to doing that again. Thanks for having me on your show, guys. And best of luck with it all. You never know, and I might catch you in Ireland if you get a lockdown here. You won't be able to go anywhere else. You'll have to come down to Cork.
The Beamish will be on me, I promise.
I hope to get to Madrid as well at some stage. So maybe I'll catch up with you guys there at some stage down the line as well.